guys. Welcome to Double the T Podcast. I'm your host, Megan.
And I'm Sarah Ann, and we are the Ombi twins.
And today we have a very, very special
interview.
This is Josh. That was a great introduction. Yeah. I wasn't expecting that.
Actually, what's funny about Josh is that we literally talk about you often on our podcast because we do this certain bit, and every time we're like, we need Josh to do it because he can sing.
Yeah, we're going to get you to do it for us at the end.
Yeah.
Okay. Sing at the end?
Yeah, but it's like four words.
It's just like a little thing that me and Sarah Ann sing.
We suck at
episodes and we're terrible
at it.
I don't know if I can match the introduction, though. I mean, that was really...
I mean, it's really good, but...
That was really good.
It's like it was scripted.
Yeah, it's like we do this.
Yeah.
So this is Josh Davis. Some of you guys may know him from season 16 of The Voice, but...
You voice fans out there.
You voice fans. But me and Sarah Ann met him at our church, which we definitely want to dive into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's just start from the very, very beginning.
Yeah, your birth. Tell us about your birth.
Tell us about your mom. Yeah. Tell us
the birth story.
Well, I don't remember that. I wasn't, yeah.
No, so tell us about your childhood. Like, where were you raised?
Where were you born? Yeah,
tell us about your family.
Yeah, I'm actually from here, born and raised. So I grew up in church. My dad was a worship leader. My mom was a musical as well. She played the piano. So grew up in music, grew up in church, born and raised here. Been a lot of places in my life, but still ended up back here. So,
where
did you go to school?
Nashville or something for a while?
So
I went
to Walker Valley for 2 years.
Okay.
And then after that, I got a recording contract, moved to Nashville at 16.
Okay.
Well, how did you get that contract?
So it's funny because I auditioned for, this organization called Actors, Models, and Talents for Christ.
Oh.
And so basically you go to Orlando, you sing, you act, you do whatever, you basically just showcase your talent.
Mm-hmm.
And from that I was able to get... an opportunity, it was an email that was sent, and they were like, hey, we want to audition you for this in Nashville. So I basically auditioned for this in Nashville. And then everything just went really well there, did really well in my audition, and then ended up, everything just kind of worked out. I signed a recording contract. We were signed to a label. Picked up all my stuff at 16, moved away. We actually had a legal guardian there. He was like our house dad. Mm-hmm. So he worked for the company because I was 16 at the time, and mm-hmm. we had to have a legal guardian.
Were there other people like you that were that young and moved there?
So yeah, the other guy that was in it, he was 17, and then his name was Benji, and then Spencer, he was, I think he was like 20 at the time.
Okay.
So y'all just went to school out there, or how'd that work?
So we did everything online.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I finished like the second semester of my junior year, and then all of my senior year online.
Wow.
So.
Okay, well, tell us about that. What did that entail, like being signed under a label?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Well, it was a lot.
16. I imagine, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just from a small town and then moving to Nashville, it was like it was just a culture shock.
Yeah.
It was like, whoa, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
You know, I had no idea. I would sit in interviews and like, I'm like, what do I even say? Like, I haven't been trained for this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sheltered in a way, but I just wasn't used to that, you know? And we were being thrown in interviews and rooms with people, and it was just a huge change for me.
Yeah.
So we actually worked on an EP. We released it. And then we went on tours, Air One tour. So we opened for, it was, I think, David Crowder was like the headliner.
Oh, cool.
So it was David Crowder, Lauren Daigle, NF, who's really...
Yeah, NF is big.
Really blown up recently,
right.
Yeah. And then Finding Favor. So,
okay. So was it you three?
Yeah, were you guys like a band?
Yeah, so we were basically... I hate to say this, but we were a boy band.
You were a boy band. Band. Yeah. Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
We
love a boy band.
Yeah.
Well,
dang. Okay, so you guys perform together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But you met through this organization. Like, they put you guys together.
Right,
Is that pretty common?
No.
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, like, it was, yeah, they were basically, it was, this usually doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah.
So then, what was that experience like? So you just, like, performed for, you were just opened up for these big artists? Mm-hmm.
So you went on tour, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so we were the first act, so we had like a 15-minute spot, and we just sang, we sang three or four songs off of our EP, mm-hmm. and then that was it. So we were going, I think we started off in, I can't remember where we started. I think we went to Texas, and then we went out to the West Coast, all mm-hmm. over California, Las Vegas. Then we came back. We were out there for like 3 weeks, and then we came back, and then we went back out like 2 weeks later. So we were just traveling basically all over the U.S. performing at venues.
I mean, did you like it? Was it fun?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I mean, it was crazy.
I literally can't imagine.
Would you have shows like multiple days in a row or the same, like?
No, so it would just be one night.
Okay, one night, but, and then you go travel to the next
right.
spot.
Yep.
I just can't imagine having to, like, I went and watched a traveling Broadway group not very long ago, and they had, like, multiple performances a day and then, like, multiple days in a row. And I was just like, how are they doing this back to back to back? That kind of energy and stuff. So I was wondering, somebody that, like, tours with artists. I mean, I can't. I mean, I'm assuming it's, like, all. I mean, 15 minutes. Okay, so that's not crazy long.
No.
Still, that's, like, I mean, that's your heart and soul 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it draining? Is it, you know?
It was, I mean, you're kind of, like, you're traveling most of the time, so, like, when you're on the bus, like, you don't really, you're kind of moving around a little bit, so you don't really get, like, a good night of rest.
Oh, yeah.
So you're showing up to places at 6 a.m. Usually, like, I would, like, wake up at, like, 2 o'clock, because I couldn't get, like, a full night rest, because we were traveling on the bus, and it was, like, you're moving around or whatever. It's just weird because you're in different time zones too. Uh-huh. You're performing at different times. It can really, if you don't take care of yourself, it can really put a
I can't imagine
wear and tear on your body.
So were you taking care of yourself? Like, did you do a good job of that? Or
I mean, not really.
And you're also 16
like
at the time. I'm
17, yeah. So no, not
I'm
really.
Like, what 16-year-old is taking care of themselves even when their parents are feeding them? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So was your that house parent or whatever that you mentioned, were they with you the whole time?
So they weren't with us, no.
Oh, okay.
So it was just us, and I mean, we technically had people that were over 18 there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But we were on a tour bus with, it was like Lauren Daigle, Finding Favor, there was like two of them, and then NF. So it was all.
Okay, who's in NF
like
when,
nine of us
when
on
you
a tour
were there?
Bus. Who was what?
Who was like, who, do you remember the people's names in NF?
At where?
In NF, like the.
It's just one person.
Okay, what's his name?
Nate.
Okay, does he have a drummer?
Does he have a drummer?
Yeah, or did he have a drummer?
Yeah, his name was Aaron something.
Oh, okay, because I really think that Dustin's cousin used to be the drummer for NF.
Oh, I wonder if they rotate, like, the artist or
they probably
like,
do.
Musicians.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember his name. I think it was Aaron was his name. But he just had a drummer, that was it.
You don't remember the name Rhett? Like, Rhett doesn't sound familiar to you. Mm-mm. Okay, never mind. Maybe that wasn't him at the time. Anyways,
okay,
that is crazy.
So, me having a child, obviously she's not 16. How did your parents, like, just like, okay,
cool,
you're 16,
bye.
Go and, like, tour the country. How was that for them?
Yeah, I think that they really knew the call of my life. Mm-hmm. So, I think it for them, it was like, there was no hesitation. Like, this is what God's called them to do. So, we're going to let it happen. I'm sure that it was a lot of anxiety going on for them. I mean, me being 16, moving to a big city and growing up in a small town, it was definitely a culture shock and a lot of things, you know, that were different.
Yeah.
But I think that they recognized that, you know, I'm called to do this. So I think that in the end, they're going to support it no matter what.
Well, when did you
feel when did you
that
get the call
on your life?
Well, yeah. When did you feel like,
I mean, it's weird because like, when I was living here growing up, like, I knew that I could sing and do and play or whatever.
Wait,
but
when was that moment that you realized you could sing? Was it in the shower or was it like,
I don't know. It was just like, I was.
You just never remember not being able to sing.
I mean, I was like four. The first time I sang on stage was like, I was 4 years old.
Oh my
five
gosh.
Years old, yeah. So I don't even remember.
Okay. You just always
singing.
Amazing at singing. Okay, cool.
I mean.
Can't relate.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Well, I think what really sparked it in me was growing up in my dad leading worship.
Yeah.
And then just being around that, hearing that, growing up, I think that's really what kind of formulated my gift and made me, like, step into that early on.
Yeah.
So,
sheesh.
Goodness gracious. I mean, that's amazing. I remember the first time hearing Josh sing at our church.
I was like, this man
who is this?
Has a voice of an angel.
I've had three experiences, like three different artists that I like know personally that I've had that like, oh my gosh, you have an amazing voice. Do you know Jessica Haidt?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. I used to sing with her.
Okay. Yeah. She's so wonderful. She was one of my clients. That's how I met her.
Okay.
And then she started singing at Rockbridge.
Yeah.
Of course, Bobby.
Bobby.
So when you and Bobby get on stage together,
Bobby was another guy.
I was like, it's gonna be a good Sunday.
And they sang together, yeah. And they were just the duo. Oh, so good! It was
like
so good.
You guys should come out with a song together.
I mean, I would be
Bobby
for it.
At Bobby. This is
Bobby.
Pitch.
Where you at?
Where you at?
Me and Sarah. We will pitch. We will be the producers here. So
yeah, for sure. Well, okay. So yeah. So okay. You toured for how long? And then what happened after that?
So we toured for 3 months, and then after that, there was, just to be real, I mean, there was just a lot of conflict going on between us, like as a group together.
Three.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we were just young, and we were experiencing a lot. We were around a lot. We were touring, recording, like, it's just a lot thrown at you at once.
Plus,
going
y'all
to radio stations,
also
like
thrown together. It's not like you guys grew up together and like y'all had like personal friendships and stuff like that.
Well, we were forced. I mean, it was like an arranged marriage. Like,
yeah,
we were forced to live together, do everything together.
Yeah,
and so I think that kind of caused like some conflict between us and the group after we toured. We didn't really do much after that. So the group just kind of fell apart. Like one of the guys was like, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. This is like not what I feel like I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, and it was fair because, I mean, you're 16, 17 years old. Like, you know, you're not forced to do anything.
Right.
Like if you feel like God's telling you to do something else, like do it.
Yeah.
You know, like, and you're so young at the time. So, he left the group. Me and the other guy, we tried to basically keep it going, but it just kind of fell apart because their whole marketing was 3 for 3. So that was our group.
Yeah.
It was 3 for 3. It was three of us.
You kind of need that.
So when one leaves, it's like,
right.
How do they shift the marketing to just two guys?
Right.
And then it's like, what happened to the other guy?
Where's
he at? You know?
Yeah.
We're like,
jump right out of the room. Right. Yeah.
Like, did he die or what?
What's the story?
Yeah. So it just didn't work out for me. So I basically moved back home. I went to school. I went to Cleveland State for 2 years, then transferred into Lee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back here. Up and down, up and down.
Okay, well, so did you continue to pursue your singing career after this? Like,
I did. So I did. I actually auditioned. So I was on The Voice season 15.
Oh, okay. Listen, I said 16 because I Googled it. And
I wasn't going to correct
it. It said 16.
Y'all had such
on
a good
there.
Introduction. I just didn't
no,
know.
No, listen, it's the thing is I saw Ricky. 15 first. I saw 2018. And then something on there said Josh Davis 2016. So all I'm saying, it wasn't me.
It was Wikipedia
internet.
That Megan went on.
Blame Google. So anyway,
Wikipedia.
Okay,
Wikipedia.
That's
okay,
funny.
So 2015.
So season 15.
Oh,
so
season 15, sorry.
Yeah, so I auditioned for The Voice 3 times.
Oh, really?
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
So
okay. What does auditions look like for that?
Okay, so it's different. It was different for me every single time. But the first time I went to Atlanta, and we were just in this big line. There was 10,000 people that auditioned. So you wait 5, 6, 7 hours to audition, and then you get in a room, and there'll be 10 people in the room. And so 10 of those people will sing. There'll be one guy standing there. Or girl, and they'll pick one out of the 10. And they'll say, hey, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And so there's a whole lot of, like, preliminary auditions you have to go through. So basically they call, they're like, hey, we want you to come back in 2 or 3 days. We want you to sing 2 songs with a track. Just sing in front of, it'll be like 4 or 5 different producers. So I came back. This was actually my first time. So I came back, I sang. I just wasn't really prepared. I didn't really take it serious. So, but she was, I got cut after that, basically. And so my second time, they reached out to me, via email.
Wow.
And it was basically, hey, you're going to come and sing 2 songs. So you skip the, where you go through the line, 10,000 people,
yeah.
We pick one out of the 10. Like, that was just that was crazy.
Oh, yeah. But,
I can't imagine. Also, did you get to sing your own song, or was it like a song?
No, so they, so The Voice, they just want you to sing like songs that have already been written. They didn't want you to do any originals.
Okay, but you got, did you get to choose that? Or was like, everyone sings Mary Had a Little Lamb?
No, so they, so you can pick whatever.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And so the second time I auditioned, I was sick, and I was prepared, I think, but the lady was actually pretty harsh towards me. She was just like, hey, we feel like you have no control over your voice. Like, you're a good singer. We think you're naturally talented, but you just have no, like, control. You don't know how to control your voice. So after that, I was kind of like, okay, I got to lock in and do better. You know, so I took vocal lessons.
I was going to say, have you ever taken any lessons?
Okay.
Yeah, so I took vocal lessons for probably 6 to 8 months at Jan Smith Studios.
Did you feel like that was like, oh my gosh, like,
oh yeah. I mean, it was like night, like I was night and day difference.
Wow. Oh wow. Okay.
Of a singer. Yeah. Cause I knew how to, I knew the technique. I actually recorded vocals for my song at that studio that I had vocal lessons at.
So okay.
Kind of making a big circle around. Yeah. So I took vocal lessons for 6 months. She really just hammered down like on technique and learning different things and dynamic and, just everything about my voice, and I really worked hard at it. I got, I mean, it was like I went from a good singer to a great singer,
you know,
and that's what I needed to elevate me
to
the next step.
To the next level. Now, were you at Lee this time, right at that point?
So I was at Cleveland State.
Okay.
So I would have been, I would have been like 19 or 20.
Okay.
So I was probably like second year at Cleveland State, something like that.
Okay.
So, I forgot where I was.
So, okay, so the second you went to vocal school or vocal classes, whatever,
and then that
was your second audition.
Yeah, so my second audition, I got cut, took vocal lessons, and then my third one, I was like, okay, I'm going to lock in, like, we're going
to
do this.
And you, like, had to go through the
So they reached out again
via
email. So they reach out every year, basically.
Oh,
so once you pass the, where you go through the line and you wait, and there's like 10,000 people, They'll reach out every single year to get your audition.
Okay. Do you know how many people of that list gets reached back out? Is it like 1,000 people they reach back out to, or do you have any idea?
I don't know.
A lot.
Yeah, it's probably a lot of people, but they do. At the time I was on The Voice, they were doing 2 seasons a year. So they were, I mean, they would reach out like every 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, they're constantly, like when they were doing my my battle rounds, they were already, or no, it would have been the live audition, like, the round before the live audition, I forgot what round that was. They were already doing,
like
setting up blind auditions for the groups. So they were already going to the next season. So it's just constant filming and moving around. But the third time I did really well. I sang. I was still nervous. I mean, it's funny because, like, I have sang in front of live crowds my whole life. Mm-hmm. But, like, when you get in a room with producers, it's like, It's nerve-wracking.
Oh, 1,000,000%.
You
know?
Do you just feel like when you're going in front of, like, your church, people are just there to, like, you know, praise God?
Nobody's, like, judging
you. Yeah.
You
know what I mean?
Right, yeah. And it's different, like, because I'm doing it for God. You know, if I'm just singing, like, outright, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's a little bit more that goes into it when I'm leading worship.
Yeah.
Like, a little bit more passion and, so.
Yeah.
Conviction, probably,
too. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so you do really well in this audition, and then,
So basically they're like, hey, we're going to fly you out to L.A. You're going to be out there for 3 days. You're going to sing in front of the executive producers. You're going to do a few interviews, and then we're going to send you back home. So I did that, made it past that round, and they're like, hey, you're going to, I don't know how much I should say of this, for The Voice, like, I don't know.
Cute. Yeah. Use your discretion.
Like, I don't think they can come back on me, but
I'm sure they're not listening to Double T.
Yeah. I think I'm good.
They're listening to
I'll just blackmail them. All right.
Yeah.
No, they're great. They were great to me. So
yeah.
So that was, I was out there for 3 days. I did that, came back home, and then they were going to fly me back out to LA 2 months later, and they were like, you're going to be out there for a month. And at the end of the month, you're going to do your blind audition.
Dang.
Wow.
So I was like, okay. So it
and
was
you're
in the
school
summer.
At this time, or
no? I was, yeah, okay. But it was in the summer, so I was in a break at that time, so it was good for me. So I was like, I'm going to lock in at the gym, you know, I'm going to get my voice prepared. I'm ready. I'm going to be on the voice. Let's go. So I did that and I was out there for a month.
What are they doing the whole month?
That's a good question. That's a really good question.
Like, why did you have to be out there that long?
So they were sequestered in a hotel. So we, at the time, the season after they were able to leave, but we were sequestered to a hotel. So we could not leave the hotel at any point of time. Yeah. And we were stuck in there with a bunch of, you know, everybody that was going to audition.
Oh my gosh. Pretty much. Why?
Were there other people staying at the hotel, or it was just...
It was... there was other people, guests, but they didn't just, like, lock down the hotel. Right. It was just us, we had our own room, which was great. But we were sequestered to that hotel for a whole month. So the whole month you're down there... A lot of the time you're not really doing anything.
Yeah.
So they've got to send people one by one to get them to interview and do all this and do all that. So the first week we just basically rehearsed our song. I probably spent 4 or 5 hours rehearsing, and then the rest of it was just downtime.
Oh my gosh, what'd you crazy. Do?
I mean, we're around a bunch of singers, so we would just sit by a campfire and sing. We would figure something out to do, but. Yeah. At one point you get bored, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
But I mean, they had a pool there, so we'd go to the pool and work out or whatever. But at some point you're like, well, what else do I do?
Nothing to do.
Life? Did they just bring you food did you?
So they give you like a stipend when you're down there to be able to live a little
restaurant
bit.
Or whatever. Yeah. Okay.
But everything's so expensive in California. I mean, it's crazy.
Oh my gosh.
But you had enough to, like, eat and
to eat the thing, yeah.
This sounds stupid, but how did you do your laundry?
I can't remember. So they had a laundry room there.
Okay.
So, yeah, you would just pay. I mean, it was like a...
Okay.
You just put quarters in and wash your clothes.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
I didn't wash my clothes the whole time when I was down there.
Yeah, I'm just wore stinky clothes the whole time.
Okay. That's a good question, though.
In his bath.
Well, I was like, you're in a hotel. Okay.
In his shower.
Okay, so finally the month gets done, and you make it to blind audition.
Yeah, so the whole month you're down there, they're interviewing people, they're doing band rehearsals, and the whole time you're down there, people are being sent home.
So you could have still been sent home.
Yeah, the guy that was the room beside me, I came back and he wasn't there, and I was like, where did he go? And they're like, they sent him home.
Dude, this is like...
This is cutthroat.
Oh my gosh, okay.
I mean, you can't, and that's the thing that people don't understand about the music industry, like, you cannot take anything personal.
Yeah.
You have to have tough skin, you have to walk in authority and boldness and know who you are and who you represent, because if you don't, you'll get eaten alive.
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, that's harsh to say, but it's true.
Oh, yeah,
so,
for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the whole month they're down there, they actually cut him after his interview. They didn't like him in his interview.
Dang.
And so...
So, it's not even, are you a good singer? It's also,
you got a good story,
your personality,
everything.
Like, yeah, right.
You got to be good for TV, and that's understandable.
Yeah.
You know, they're putting on a show.
Right. Yeah.
So, but the end of the month, so they have, the last week that you're there, they have people go on different days that will sing. So, they have day one, day two, day three, day four, day five. And so they delayed it because I think Adam Levine had gotten sick. So they had like a day six, basically. So I went on the last day.
Okay.
So they'll tell you like the night before. They're like, hey, you're going to go on day two. So we were like waiting all day. Like, what day am I going to go on? You know.
And then also, I haven't watched The Voice like religiously. So is it like they're only allowed so many people on their team. So if they turned around and people picked them, you know what I'm saying? Like, could one of them been like, oh, I can't take anymore?
Oh yeah,
by day
I mean,
six.
So the whole time you're down, like, basically once the spots fill up, whoever's left is just gonna get cut.
Gotcha. So being on day six kind of sucked.
Yeah, I mean it was terrifying. I think I was the second to last person to be picked on our
grief.
Team.
Dang.
So yeah.
Oh wow.
And then after that, there was probably 30 or 40 people left that didn't even get to audition. That were down there the whole month, had done interviews, done everything.
Way.
There was a girl that was down there. I felt so bad for her. This was her second time doing it, and she didn't get to audition.
Dang.
So, again, I didn't watch it enough. Can a singer go through all of the things and nobody turn around for them?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then they just get cut.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think they filmed everybody that sang on the stage, even if you did get cut or nobody turned.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Oh gosh, but, that would be.
Yeah.
I mean, how would that have made you feel?
Oh yeah, I mean that would. Oof, I couldn't imagine.
It's one thing to get rejected, but then on screen in front of everybody. But even though, but also at that point, you've passed so many other singers, so it's like. You still did so good.
Yeah.
Then nobody.
Well, know. I mean, there's just you got to be content with anything at that point. I mean, you worked so hard to get down here. You worked so hard to do this, and you sacrificed your entire month and time to be down here. You know, like you just got to be content with anything.
Yeah.
You got to be willing to accept whatever happens. And
so, what song did you sing?
I sang.
I rewatched your performance.
Too remember. Good at Goodbyes.
That's so right. How did you pick it?
They picked that one for me.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay, so in that month period, they picked that one for you. Okay. So tell us about going up on stage and singing in front of the whole country.
Oh, gosh. I mean, well, it's like this freaky made-up thing almost that it's just like the doors open, and then they're like, Josh Davis, please come to the stage. And there's like 12 to 15-foot doors, and they open, and they're like, okay, go walk. So you walk out there with a mic. And then everyone stands up. There's an audience.
Yeah, so
there's probably like 500 people. And then it's just this huge stage. And they have musicians there playing too. And so I basically get up there and I start singing. And I cannot hear myself.
Oh my gosh.
I could not hear myself at all.
Because why? Because they're so loud?
Well, I think... So we did rehearsals before. And I could hear myself fine. And I was like, okay... And the stage was kind of weird, so it was like a V, so you didn't have in-ears or anything, but the speakers were like this.
Okay.
So usually, like, it's like a square, so it comes up and to you, but it was like, I think the way the speakers were designed, it was just kind of hard to capture your own voice. So
how does that affect a singer? I don't, you know, obviously I know you guys wear a little earpiece, but like, how much is that?
Well, I mean, for me, I had sang the song probably 200 times, so it was like muscle memory for me, but still not being able to hear myself.
Yeah, it's kind of freaky.
It freaked me out.
Yeah.
Shook my voice, and I was like, okay, this is not what I was prepared for. But I think what happened is they basically turned me down before the performance. I'm just kidding. No, they didn't do that.
Oh my gosh, I was like, what? Why?
No, I think what happened was the audience like sucked in all the sound.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but I don't know. I don't know.
Did you talk to any of the other artists and did they say the same?
It was like 50-50.
Yeah.
But you just never know until you actually get out there, because if there's 1,000 people in the audience, they can really absorb the sound and take away. So... It was just kind of weird. It was weird for me because I was, like, getting my echo, too. And I just did not have a good sound for myself. And I was just kind of freaked out, too.
You must feel like
it wasn't
blind.
My best performance, but I was happy that, you know, I got to do it. And I got two chair turns.
I was going to say,
Yeah.
So how did you make your decision on who you wanted to work with?
Well, I mean, you know Kelly Clarkson. She's just got big personality. She's fun. She just kind of sold me.
Yeah.
You know, like, she's...
Because I didn't even know. Was it Jennifer?
Jennifer Hudson, yeah.
Oh.
She said some things, and she was good, too. And it was funny because at the time, it was like, I think Adam was defending, because Adam and Blake didn't turn. So Adam was defending Jennifer Hudson, and Blake was defending Kelly.
Oh.
For who you should pick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they were both, like, defending each other. It was just, it was funny, this whole ordeal. And basically, when they turned around and I started talking, I just blacked out. I don't remember.
Oh, literally.
I don't remember anything.
Dude, seriously. Which, did you have a coach that you wanted to work with before?
I wanted to work with Adam.
Okay. I feel like you're, like, I don't know, your vibes kind of match, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I get that.
But, yeah, I thought that he would be a good fit for me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Kelly Clarkson's great.
Yeah.
You know, so she gave me, like, this jacket, and she came back and talked to my mom and dad for a little bit, too.
Aww.
Because they were filming them, but yeah, she just kind of sold me.
Yeah.
She's got big personality and a lot of fun to be around, so. Mm-hmm.
So how much did you actually get to interact with her during the whole process?
Not a lot. The next round, the battle rounds, they basically will give you a song, they'll give you 16 hours to learn it, and then you got to go in a room with Kelly. Thomas Rhett was our advisor. So it's Kelly Clarkson, Thomas Rhett. So we spent probably about an hour or 2 hours with them advising, and then she would like mentor us on our performance as well.
Okay.
So everything that was any encounter that I had with her was filmed.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Okay, so you do the battle rounds, and tell us about that experience. Was that
I tried to find your battle round and I couldn't find it anywhere.
Yeah, so it was they didn't film it, it was montaged.
Oh.
So they basically will do like 5 seconds of it.
Oh,
because okay, like, I found that I didn't find. Okay.
Yeah, and I thought I did really well in my battle rounds, but I did get cut that round. Mm-hmm. Man, I was like walking off the stage, and they have steals at the time, so they can, if you get cut from a battle round, a coach can steal you.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like walking off the stage, and I was just like walking slowly.
You're like, come on, Adam. I was like, come on, Adam.
I was like looking around. I was like,
steal me, steal
come
me,
on,
steal me,
come on.
Steal me.
I was like, God help me, change somebody's mind.
That's insane. So how did you feel? I mean, were you just like so upset, or how did you feel?
Oh gosh, I was so upset. I cried. I was sitting on the airplane, like listening to music, and I was just, I remember I like caught myself crying, and I was like, I'm not a big crier.
Yeah.
You know, I cry like if I'm in church or something, but
yeah,
it was pretty, I was upset because I thought that, you know, I deserved a spot to be, and there was good talent down there, but I felt like I was really, I felt like I was talented enough to make it further than what I did.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, but overall, I mean, you know, just to be on the show was just like a feat.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, again, you passed so many people just in the process of getting there. So it's like, yeah, you got cut early, but you had already had like all these people that you had surpassed, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So after the show, kind of walk us through that.
Like, what life has been like after, like, post-show and all of that.
So, after the show, I just kind of, I still was pursuing music.
Yeah, because I remember a time, you were still making songs.
Yeah, I was trying to make covers. I was writing and stuff. I had actually written an EP, and it was, like, 3 songs, and I had recorded it and everything, but I just didn't feel like it was to the quality that I wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it was good stuff, you know, but it was like, this is not really what I want to say to the world.
Yeah.
Really. And for me, it was, I got to find my voice.
Yeah.
And I want to know what I want to say to the people.
Yeah.
I don't want to just put music out there to put music out there.
Yeah.
Like, I want there to be some substance to it. So I scrapped that. I didn't release it. Basically, well, I don't know if y'all want me to get into it.
No, dive in.
Dive in as much as you want to dive in.
So there was a period where, like, you were making music and all this stuff, and then all of a sudden it was just kind of like Josh went dark. Like, it was like, where is
Josh? Where did Josh go?
We weren't going to the same church at that time. And so, I mean, I was like, where is Josh? Like, why is he not producing music anymore?
Yeah.
So walk us through that.
I ran, probably a year after the show, I was pursuing it, was doing it, and then I just kind of got to a place where I was like, I don't know if I want to do this. Like, I want to work. I want to make money. I want to go to school. So I went to Lee for the last 2 years of college, studied business, and, like, I want to make money. I want to grow my life, and music's not going to make me any money. You know, that was a lie that I heard from the enemy and from different people that had done music their whole life, and they're like, yeah, you know, I'm just kind of getting by, you know. And for me, it was like, no, you're different. Like, you're called to do this. Like, God's going to make a way if he can, you know. Or he will make a way.
Yeah,
so, so 3 years, 3-4 years of my life, I ran from it. I just went dark, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really singing. I wasn't really in church, doing much.
Was there any, like, anger towards God or anything like that? Like, was there, because you know, you said you weren't in church. Mm-hmm. So was there, like, you were pushing against that as well?
There wasn't any necessarily anger towards God. I was just pushing against my calling.
Yeah.
And I think there was a time where, like, you know, I had struggled with alcohol as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was really what pulled me away from what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I think it just, like, affected the way I viewed myself and the way I viewed my calling. And I just, you know, over time, like, if you let that become part of your life, alcohol, and it becomes a problem, and there's substance abuse, you know, you start to like doubt yourself,
yeah.
and you start to like really like you don't believe in yourself, mm-hmm. and I got to a point where I was like, I couldn't even remember that I sang, you know, yeah. I was like, I hadn't sang in so long, I was like, I forgot I knew how to do this,
oh my gosh.
You know, and it's crazy to think about it now versus then versus now. You know, and I remember I had, you know, a point where I was probably my lowest point. I was just like, God, just take it away, you know.
Like take your calling away.
Yeah. And that's so terrible to say. And me sitting here saying that now is just like, it blows my mind. And
why did you want him to take it away? Was it just because the pursuit was so hard?
I think I knew, like, if I did not step into my calling fully, I would never be fulfilled. And that was part of, like, what God was pulling me to do, you know. And then I don't really know how to describe it, but it's like the higher the calling, the more the pull in the other direction, you know, like
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
And I don't know how spiritual y'all are, but like.
Very.
All yeah.
The way.
Yeah. Yeah. So if things happen spiritually that are like breakthroughs or whatever, there's also the darkness that pulls against it.
Yeah.
So for me, I knew that like I was called to do it, and this was something that like I knew that I had to do it, you know?
Yeah. So because you said like you were asking God to kind of like take away your calling. Do you think at the same time, like the Lord was calling you back to your calling, but also calling you just back to Him in general?
So, yeah. So it was, it was at my lowest point yeah. that I found God, really.
Okay.
Yeah. And God had to really take me to a place where I was like, I have no other way out. Like, yeah. you're the only way out at this point. Like, yeah. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. Like, yes, I'm working. Yes, I'm making money. Yes, I'm building my life, but I'm not fulfilled,
yeah.
you know? And I think the whole thing with, like, with music in general is, like, there's such a spiritual element that goes into it,
mm-hmm.
you know, with worship and everything. And I think if I didn't step into my calling, like, I would never be fulfilled. And I would look to other things, like alcohol yeah. or substance abuse. And that was what happened.
Yeah.
So.
And step into just, like, Christ in general, just, like, letting
yeah,
Christ.
Yeah, step into my calling and Christ, everything.
Yeah.
So. I mean, I found God basically in a church service. You know, I went to the altar and I was like, I got on my knees, and God just brought me to a place where it was like I've been chasing after you this whole time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and at your lowest point, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
So find me now. And then in everything you do, let me be a part of it
yeah.
pretty much.
Yeah.
And so that was probably about a year and a half ago. And from then I've stepped more into my calling. I've done music a lot more. And I've been happy. I'm yeah. just so happy, you know.
It's not funny. It's like it really isn't like it's really simple. If
yeah,
people would just
it really is.
Come to
yeah.
like know the Lord, I'm like, it's really simple, you'll be happy, you
yeah.
know.
And I'm not perfect, you know, I'm still
oh, for sure.
working
not
on things
far.
And
yeah.
trying to build, you know how that goes.
Yeah.
Still work in progress every day. But I found so much joy and peace in my life and in just every area,
yeah.
you know, my job and music and everything. And obviously I want to be doing music. You know, I'm working full time now, but I'm working towards that. And I know that God's just kind of in a season of preparing me, preparing my heart,
mm-hmm.
building a foundation, learning and growing and just having wisdom and being ready when that time comes.
Yeah.
So.
Well, question. Do you feel like you were completely released from, like, the temptation of alcohol? Or do you feel like it's something that you actively have to resist still? You know what I'm saying?
So, it's funny because the pastor preached on a sermon. It was like the scripture of resist the devil and he will flee. But the first part of that says seek the kingdom of God, resist the devil and he will flee. And people really miss that first part.
Mm-hmm.
Seek God first.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, like, you still struggle with it. It's not like something you just move on from and you're like, it's out of your life completely.
Mm-hmm.
But the more that you pursue God, the easier that it gets.
Yeah.
You know, and the more that you're, I mean, you have to say no. You have to resist the devil. But more than resisting the devil, you should be seeking God.
Yeah.
You know, and his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Mm-hmm. You know, he makes it not easy on you. I mean, you must suffer to enter into the kingdom, but mm-hmm. But I mean, he bears your burden for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's yeah. if you, the more you pursue him, the easier it gets. And
yeah.
But doesn't mean that it just goes away and there's yeah. no temptation. Yeah. You know, like you're yeah. still. I still struggled with it for the first few months.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
I think that's something that's super relatable, you mm-hmm. know? And so,
oh, yeah.
If there was anything you could say to maybe somebody that, you know, was kind of in that dark spot, mm-hmm. you know, what would you say to them?
Seek first the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Seriously. No, yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, just, I think finding a good church and a good community is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And people have gotten church hurt. People have gotten, you know, burned by churches, especially in this town, you know. Yeah. And so I think finding somewhere that you can be yourself and be around people that are like-minded and iron sharpens iron, I think that that's so important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that people have really just kind of taken for granted.
Yeah. For sure.
And without that, like, I mean, yeah, you can do and pursue God on your own, but you have to have a community of people and
yeah.
you have to be surrounded with like-minded people. And that's really what I think would help the most,
yeah.
you know? So
I think that's great advice.
I yeah. feel like we've talked about that several times in like many of our podcasts about like being an adult and how being an adult, mm-hmm. like you, like the friends that you have as an adult.
Yeah.
You want them to be people that align with mm-hmm. your values, and so finding
and you
those
realize
people,
how important that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, how that really is. It's like in high school and middle school, it's like, eh, if you guys don't believe the same thing, whatever. But it's
right.
like, as an
and
adult,
no one really knows what they believe. You know,
yeah,
yeah,
truly.
Whatever.
But being an adult's weird.
It's freaking
it's
so weird.
Weird.
It's hard.
Because you work full time, and then you're doing your own thing, and then you're like, hey, do you want to hang out? And,
hey, also.
And it's like in high school and college, you're always around people, yeah. so you're always hanging out doing. But as an adult, you kind of have to like. You have to go out of your way.
You have
yeah,
to
be
yeah.
intentional.
Out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For sure.
And that's what I would say, too, is, like, if your church, you know, if they have an event or something going on or whatever, like, go to that event.
Yeah.
Surround yourself with people.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be weird. It's going to be awkward
yeah,
if you don't know anybody.
Everyone
but put yourself out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
And, I mean, so many churches now are doing, you know, it's funny. I feel like or maybe some churches are still doing the Sunday school thing. I think a lot of them are. But, like,
yeah.
a lot of churches are doing the small group thing, and which I think
right.
is great, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's, I mean, that's really, really mm-hmm. awesome advice.
Yeah.
For people that are struggling the way that you were, you know.
Yeah.
So take us to, I mean, I got to listen to your new song. You haven't
yeah.
released it yet.
Okay, so yeah, Josh sent us a song that he
I have been listening to it literally
all the
time.
Oh, yeah, I was listening all the way over here.
The same.
I know all the songs by heart, or all the lyrics by heart now.
It is so good.
It's
and
so
it's
good.
It's funny because, like, not hearing your story, you sit down. I kind mm-hmm. of have pieced together your life, like,
yeah.
you know. But it was like, you can tell it's so true mm-hmm. to your experience,
yeah.
you know. So you want to talk about
he's
it?
He's releasing a song called The Prodigal, which I was yeah. like, I wonder, and I wanted to ask you, like, did you resonate with the story? Obviously, if you're a Christian, you immediately think of the prodigal mm-hmm. son story. So was that a story that you felt like you really resonated with?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, so if you don't know the story, it's basically one of the sons had turned away from his father and spent all of his inheritance and just had done wrong. And then eventually got to his lowest point where I was at my lowest point, you know, and he had to come back home. He had no other option. So, but his dad, you know, he thought that his dad would be mad. He thought that his dad would be like hateful or whatever. And he just said, welcome home, you know, and he accepted him like he had never left,
yeah.
you know, and he had never spent his inheritance. And that's kind of the same relationship that we share with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, like, I was at my lowest point. I had turned away from God. And I found him at my lowest point. And it's just, God's love is not like, hey, I'm not going to condemn you for what you've done. I'm not going to speak. You know, we already deal with enough shame as it is. You know, if you're, the human mind is like, okay, I've done this. How do I even overcome this? You know, I can't believe I did that. I, you know, and you start having all these negative thoughts, but God just, you know, he paid the ultimate price for us, for sin. So it doesn't matter where you're at in life. I mean, there's always, he's always going to accept you, you know, and he's always going to welcome you with open arms, and he's never going to persecute you for the things that you've done, you know. And I dealt for me, I dealt with a lot of shame. I was like, how did I do that? How did I end up here? How did I, you know, and it really took God healing me from that to get over that. And there's consequences to it. There was consequences for me. I had to deal with things. I had to, you know, I had to apologize to people. There was things that I had to do in order to overcome. But back to the song, it's just basically the whole premise is come back to the Father. His love reaches farther than all of your shame. And that's kind of the end of the story, and rise up and live again.
Yeah.
So basically when you choose to accept Christ and move on, your old life has to die.
Yeah.
And everything that you've carried it has to die, and you have to take up a new life in Him, you know? And then the bridge just kind of circles it back home. It's like dry bones are waking up, stepping into freedom. The enemy has had enough. God has taken back what he stole. I'm coming home. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, just kind of like wraps the whole thing in. It's like, okay, I've had enough of what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been here for so long. I'm not getting anywhere.
Right.
You know, I'm not helping myself. I'm not helping my family. I'm not helping my future spouse. I'm not doing anything right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not like, I was still working and pursuing, but I just wasn't moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to like get to myself. I'm like, okay, I've had enough. You know, the enemy has had enough.
Right.
And the enemy did have a play in my life, but there comes a time where, there's going to be that attack, but you have to put your foot down and say, this is enough.
Yeah.
I'm moving on.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I think my testimony will speak louder than the things that I've done, you know? And that to me is
really what God has done in your life.
Yeah.
Speaks so much louder than all the things. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I hope I don't cry.
Oh my gosh. No, it's funny. I wrote down like when I was like looking at the lyrics, because I asked Josh to send me the lyrics. Because sometimes I just get so swept up in your voice. I just can't. I'm not trying to blow smoke up your butt. But there was a lyric that said, and it's funny because you kind of touched on it. It said, his love reaches farther than all of your shame. And I felt like that is so relatable, even for Christians. Like, I found myself in a conversation with one of my clients and good friends the other day, and she was talking about how she, and this was, I mean, she's in of like 48, and you know, this was sin from her teens.
Yeah.
And she was like crying. She was like, is what's going on in my life now because of that? And I was like, I told her, I was like, God, what Christ did on the cross is sufficient for your sins. And and by holding on to that shame and guilt, you're essentially saying like Jesus, what he did on the cross wasn't sufficient enough to cover that.
Yeah.
And so I felt like that was so relatable. I think like Christians, you know, it's easy to hold on to things that we've done in the past. And like, there's no way that God is fully forgiven me, or I'm fully wiped clean of that.
Right.
But it's like, no, the cross was sufficient to cover every one of your sins. And so I love that lyric that just reminded me of that and this client that I have. And so I told her, you know, I tried to encourage her in that way, but I just really, really loved, I mean, the song was just very,
yeah,
very beautiful.
Very, very
I appreciate
good.
That.
It was
yeah.
very beautiful. And I think
really
just
love
very
it.
Relatable.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
And
good.
I can honestly say, I mean, I was given the lyrics basically, I was at Cracker Barrel eating with my family, and I was hearing the song, I was hearing the lyrics, I was hearing all the music in my head when I was sitting there. And I remember I went outside, and I was like sitting on their rocking chairs at, you know how they have rocking chairs like sitting out of Cracker Barrel, and I was just writing the song. Mm-hmm. Like, I was voice memoing it, and I basically had the song written in like 15 minutes.
Wow.
You know, and it was, I'd never had that happen before, but it was like God really gave me the lyrics, you know, and he gave me the song, the music, everything. And I can truly say that this was not my own doing, you know, like God has used me to write the song and sing the song, but he takes all the credit for it, you know, and all the glory belongs to him no matter what.
Yeah.
So
I love that.
I love
that. Oh, it's so good. It's okay. So when are you releasing it?
Yeah.
You want to tell us when?
So I'm releasing it 6 days from now.
Okay, amazing.
Next
perfect
Friday.
Timing. This is going to be
this coming Friday.
So good.
11/22.
11/22. It is. Okay,
if I did everything right.
How are you releasing
it? This is my first song.
Like, are you like Spotify or like, what is it?
So it's going to, it's going to go on all platforms. I'm going to have like a link in my bio. So basically you'll click that link and it'll give you like 5 or 6 different platforms. Like it'll be Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Music. YouTube Music. I'm releasing it, I think it's like 19 different platforms.
Oh, perfect.
So everyone can hear it if, you know, if if you don't have Spotify or Apple Music, you can still stream it.
So. Okay. Oh, it's so good. Yeah. Okay, so.
So good. Well,
you guys need to be on the lookout for it.
And then we have to get him to do our thing for us really quick.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But before that, well, it's funny, like, we all went to Lee University. The only thing that I, no, I'm just kidding. I learned a lot from Lee. But there's this one, and like one of my last classes with Lee, that was just kind of like a transition class, like, okay, life after this, right?
Yeah.
And this one, it was this book that they made us read or whatever, and there was this one line in it that has always resonated with me, and it said, God's calling on your life is the place where your deepest joy and the world's deepest hunger meet.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so beautiful. And I think that's a perfect representation of your story. Mm-hmm. You know, your deepest joy and where the world's deepest hunger meet.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really beautiful. And I'm so proud of you for coming back into
that. Yeah, so well, thank proud of you.
And just we've missed you because I'm like always like, where's Josh? You need a new song. And then he went dark. So I'm just glad you're back.
Yes.
Glad you're back.
Glad to be back.
Okay, so we do this bit.
We have a request from you.
Yeah, we do a bit.
So I've been a little sick. So if you want me to sing, it's not
going to be. Oh, it's going to be, but I promise you, whatever you do is going to be so much better than what we're doing. Okay. Literally so bad. So we do this bit every few weeks called Tell Me Something Good. That's like our episode for the week. So we'll like say something good.
Yes.
But we
there's this way that we say it.
Uh-huh. And you have to like sing it. And we suck. We suck at it.
And so every episode we have to like address the elephant in the room about how bad we suck at doing
it. And then that's when we were always like, we need Josh.
We need Josh to do this for us. Do this.
Okay, so it basically is like, tell me something good. But we don't have good high voice. So can you sing? I just...
Tell me something good.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Are you?
That's not good.
Amazing.
I don't know why I was struggling to find my pitch on that.
That was amazing. Okay, no.
Oh, that was your struggle on the pitch?
We need you very clearly. Taylor, producer in the back, we need complete silence so that we can read. Okay, so I can cut this.
Okay, yeah. So do it.
Ready?
You want me to do it?
Yes.
I'm glad we didn't use that. I was like, God.
Dang,
Jesus.
That sucked.
Cut out the first part, dude.
Okay, and get a little closer to it.
Okay,
yeah.
Tell me something good.
Are you kidding? Okay. That will be our
song. I'm going to get on GarageBand later and see if I can add a little. I don't know. I have no idea.
You might need to turn me down a little bit on that. I got really close to that.
No,
mic,
we need to be really loud. And we'll just.
Yeah, okay. We know nothing, actually, Josh. So can you help us?
Yeah, we're on commercials.
Okay.
Thank you.
You
that
got
was
logic?
So good.
Is that logic?
No.
Yeah. Oh,
this is my notepad. No, are you looking at this? This is my notepad.
Logic, though. That's Logic.
I don't know.
Or GarageBand.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But GarageBand is just...
Yeah, we're
that's what I
computer.
Use.
Come on, we're professionals. Come on.
Yeah, we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Come on, we're professionals.
I mean, yeah. That's,
we're not amateurs.
That's professional.
Ha ha ha. Yeah, you heard it. You heard it, guys.
You
we're
heard
professionals.
It. Now, can I figure out how to get my one of these mics off of... This one is like the right side earbud, and that one goes on the left, and I don't know how to merge them. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
We can probably talk about this after.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I know I'm just
We can probably do that. Our audience does not care about that.
No, I just wanted it. We don't know what we're doing, actually. Okay, long story short, Josh.
Thank you.
Thank you
so
much
for
joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I mean, you're somebody that we, I mean, you know, we met you years ago and just fell in love with you. You're just a wonderful person.
Wonderful.
Loved hearing your story and what Jesus has done in your life. So that's so awesome.
Well, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for joining us on another episode of Double the Tea, where we spilled
all of Josh's tea.
Bye, guys.
Bye.